won't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Time to welcome in Dr. Richard Besser, ABC News Chief Health and Medical Editor. He provides analysis, medical analysis, and commentary for all ABC News broadcasts, including World News with Diane Sawyer, Good Morning America, and Nightline, many other news and entertainment programs. Got a book out called Tell Me the Truth, Doctor, Easy to Understand Answers to Your Most Confusing and Critical Health Questions, published by Hyperion. Hey, well, thank you, sir, for coming on. We were just talking earlier in the show about how Google soon will be providing medical nutritional information for about 1,000 foods that we eat every day. And also with the information we get online now, we go to online different places to find out about what's wrong with us. With these advances of information, are we more informed and are we more accurately informed as medical consumers?
You know, I think that's a great question. There is so much information out there for people to sort through. I think that if you're a smart internet consumer, you can end up more informed. You can get information that can help you make smart health decisions and information that can help you have more informed conversations with your own doctors. But you really have to be careful and know where to look, because as much good information as there is on the internet, there's also a lot of information that is not well supported. There's information from sites that are really set up to try and sell you something. And all you need is a computer and a mouse, and you can set up a site that looks just as good as some of the really, really important sites.
I think the first emotion we experience when we go to the web to find out about something we may have wrong with us is an emotion of fear.
Yeah, you know, and you can get scared pretty easily. I've had a number of patients who, you know, who've had medical problems, and they've gone to sort it out on the web, and they've come in, and they think they're at death's door, mainly because they ended up at the wrong spot, or they were reading information about a condition that was similar to theirs, or applied to someone who had other medical problems that they didn't have. And it can be difficult. Your doctor is often a good one to steer you towards some of the more legitimate sites. I mean, if you have a medical condition, often the advocate sites for that disease can be good places to look for some well-grounded information.
All right, here's Dr. Mike Roizen. Dr. Mike?
Rich, you've done a tremendous amount to promote hand washing. And one of the questions we often get asked is should we use antibacterial soap routinely, or is regular soap and water, or even just regular water, okay?
Yeah, I mean, that's one where it's pretty hard to not get sold something you don't need. The whole fear of germs has led to a major industry that's trying to sell antibacterial everything. And you just don't need that. Good old soap and water has been shown to be just as effective as soaps that contain antibacterial chemicals in them. You know, this is for the general public. If you're someone who has an immune condition or cancer and is under treatment, you may be told to use something with antibacterial properties, and that's different. But for everybody else, good old soap and water, using it for a good 20 seconds, getting a lather and washing it off is really the way to go.
Now, is that the best thing we should be doing in preventing ourselves or our risk of the new flu and the new coronavirus? Talk a little bit about those, if you would, because we keep getting questions about them.
Yeah, so these are two new viral diseases that have appeared on the world scene. The new bird flu has shown up in China. Thankfully, it initially looked like it was going to be taking off and spreading widely. So far, it looks like it hasn't spread very widely. It doesn't seem like it's doing very well as a virus, which is great. The new coronavirus, it's called MERS, which stands for Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome Virus. This has people very worried right now in the public health community because it reminds people of a virus that appeared 10 years ago that caused something called SARS. And SARS was a severe respiratory infection It sprung up in Hong Kong. It traveled around the globe. It infected more than 8,000 people. More than 700 people died. And then it vanished, almost miraculously. It went away. This virus, this MERS virus, appeared about a year ago. And so far, there have been 50 cases. More than half of the people who've acquired it have died. Everyone who's been sick either traveled to the Mideast or was in very close contact in a hospital room or in a household with someone who had. And the concern here is if this virus were to spread easily person to person, whether it could become the next SARS. So far, it hasn't. But, I spoke to the head of the CDC, Tom Frieden, on Thursday. And his concern is that we need to be ready. And so the public health community is developing tests for this. It's not something I think that people at home need to worry about. If you're someone who travels or travels to Middle East, you need to protect yourself. If you're a doctor and you're seeing patients with pneumonia and you can't figure out why, you need to be concerned and think about this. And CDC has testing available. But for everyone else, I would stay tuned to the news on this, but I don't think you need to change any behavior.
And in other words, the general precautions that we take seem to be appropriate. What about if you're flying over to the Saudi Arabia or to the Gulf region? Is there anything you should be doing differently?
Well, the recommendations they have for travelers, CDC website, their travel website, has great recommendations on this. So it's basically those things that you should be doing anyway. Washing your hands frequently to avoid respiratory infections, trying to avoid people who are sick, avoiding contact with wildlife, because so far they haven't figured out where people are picking this up, and then practicing safe food habits, only eating well-cooked foods, in case there's any kind of foodborne component to this. And then if you travel to those regions and you return and you're developing any kind of a respiratory illness, let your doctor know where you've been so you can be tested properly.
Now, we constantly or consistently hear about cell phones and the worry about cell phones and cancer. We should use wired cell phones or wired earpieces. What's the data, and what do you specifically do? Do you wear it on your hip? What do you do about that?
Yeah. Here's one where there's a lot of concern, and I don't see the science supporting the concern. There are different types of radiation, and there's radiation that's put out by things like X-rays that's called ionizing radiation that can damage your DNA and cause cancer. The type of radiation put out by a cell phone is not that type. It's non-ionizing radiation. It's more like the radiation that comes out of a microwave oven. It can generate some heat, and so there are studies that show that putting it up to the side of your head can cause heat there, and you'll see some change in brain function around that. But the data linking it to cancer really aren't there. That being said, our children are really the first generation to grow up using a cell phone. When my kids say that they were talking to their friend, 9 times out of 10, what they really mean is that they were texting. So they're not getting the kind of exposure that most adults get when they use a cell phone by putting it to their head. But if you're concerned about this, you can text more. You can use a speakerphone. You can use a hands-free. I'm not on the cell phone that much, but when I use it, I use it up to my head. I'm trying to use it less and less when I'm in the car, because of all the data that are showing that even when you're using a hands-free in the car, your level of attention to driving is down, and there's risk there from that. But I'm more concerned about the risks from cell phones and driving, cell phone use in cars, than I am at all about the risk of cell phones and cancer.
Dr. Richard Besser is with us. We'll be back with more of some of the most confusing and critical health questions that you might have. Easy-to-understand answers. And Dr. Richard Besser coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza.
Health officials now recommend everyone
6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. While planning gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews this holiday season, don't forget about toy safety. Toys need to match a child's abilities, so always check the manufacturer's age recommendations on the toy first. In general, toy parts should be much larger than the child's mouth to prevent injuries, including choking. To avoid serious eye or ear injuries, steer clear of toys that shoot small objects into the air or make loud noises. The eyes, nose, and other small parts on soft toys and stuffed animals should be securely fastened. If a toy comes with instructions, make sure you read and demonstrate them to the child and make sure she understands the proper way to use the toy. And note, never buy hobby kits such as chemistry sets for any child younger than 12. For more tips on keeping your holidays safe with your children and family, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Terrific conversation with Dr. Richard Besser, Chief Health and Medical Editor from ABC News. His book is called Tell Me the Truth, Doctor. Easy to understand answers to your most confusing and critical health questions. The publisher is Hyperion for Dr. Richard Besser's book. And here again, Dr. Mike Roizen.
And in fact, we should say this is a wonderful book. I'm just reading some of the questions out of it and went through and read some of them. Obviously, I actually disagree with a couple of the answers, but very few. So should I take aspirin to prevent a heart attack, stroke, or cancer? And Richard, you say the risk obviously is greater than the benefit for primary prevention. How about if you add all of those things together? You're not convinced on the cancer data, I take it.
Yeah, you know, this is one where I think an individual approach is so important. You know, when we're talking about the heart disease, clearly there are many, many people where taking an aspirin every day can be life-saving. You know, if you don't have those risk factors for heart disease, though, then I start to worry about the risk from bleeding. The aspirin and cancer prevention, I'm not convinced yet. I want to see more data, more information. That being said, you know, there may be people who have very high risks for certain types of cancer that run in their family, and in talking to their doctor, they're gonna look at that equation in a different way. You know, one of the things that I hope people take away from the book is the importance of owning your own health and looking at information and using your doctor as your consultant, as your advisor, because so many of the decisions we make when it comes to our health are value judgments, and everyone needs to do that for themselves.
You know, what you talk also about, and that I couldn't agree more with that than you obviously stated. I wanted to get to a couple more subjects since we've only got a few more minutes. The question on the freshman 15, when my mother-in-law moves back to us from Florida for about 6 months, a little shorter 6 months every year, I gain about 5 pounds when she comes back. So there's a mother-in-law five, even if not a freshman 15. Talk about the freshman 15.
Yeah, you know, I had always thought that was fact, that the average student when they go off to college gains 15 pounds. But in looking into the data on that, it's not true. There is some slight weight gain. It's about 3 or 4 pounds on average. I mean, some people will gain more and some will gain less. But I hope the takeaway on that isn't that you don't need to worry about what you're eating and how you're using your body. Those years in college are the time when a lot of people start to develop their habits around food, develop their habits around their bodies and exercise. And that's really, really important. But it is a myth that the average freshman gains 15.
What about we get asked, and I've gotten asked again by on an email question for you, what about diet soda and sugar substitutes and weight gain?
Well, I think this is a really interesting area because, you know, I think, you know, if you're drinking full-calorie soda and you switch to diet soda, that's a good thing. I think switching to water is even better. But there are some data, there are some studies that raise concerns about how sweet diet sodas are and that it can do two things. One is it can raise kind of your set point for sweet. It's so sweet that you can develop that craving for things that are that sweet, and that's not good because most of them have calories. The other is that there's this forgiveness factor. So, you know, you're being good. You're not having that full calorie soda. You're having a diet soda. For some people, that gives them the permission to have additional calories in the rest of their meal. And if you do that, then you can lose the value in switching away from those calories.
Yeah, in fact, one of the interesting things is when you lower the price of healthy foods, people tend to spend the same amount. And so there are some places, there are some of the studies where they're trying to incent eating healthy foods, and when they lower the price of the healthy food, they just buy more total calories of food. So it'll be very interesting to see how that shakes out. We were, Joe and I were talking about the shame in McDonald's saying it's not promoting salaries because not many people are interested in them. And I was saying the shame is that they charge so much more for a salad than they do for a hamburger, that if they lowered the price on, for example, a veggie wrap and make it a dollar menu item like they do some of their other things, they might be able to sell a ton more.
I think you're right on target. Price is a big motivator, and if you have a fixed number of dollars to buy the family a meal, and you're getting more calories from a fast food meal of burgers then that's the way you're going to go. The more you can do to bring down the price of the healthy stuff, the more people are going to go that route.
Well, I want to thank you. First of all, let me just ask one more question, is which is your favorite question in here?
Wow. I really like the does doctor know best question, because so much of it comes down to that. Oh, and the other one I really like is, do you need 30 minutes of exercise to see any benefit? The government has been saying forever that 30 minutes five times a week is what you need for health. But that, I think, becomes a barrier to a lot of people even getting started. Anything you do is of value, and there's studies that even 15 minutes a day can prolong your life. So just get out there and use your body. I think that that's so important to health.
I totally agree. Thank you very much. The book is wonderful book, Tell Me the Truth, Doctor, by Richard Besser. Thanks, Rich. And it'll always be archived at RadioMD.com. We're now going to go to the Real Age Tip of the Week. And this is nasal allergies and the adverse effect of alcohol. Allergy sufferers everywhere, listen up, and it's more common now than ever. Pollen is great this year, unfortunately. You may feel a little better if you choose the virgin daiquiri instead of the grown-up version. It's possible that cutting back on beer, wine, and yes, those fruity summer cocktails could mean less sneezing, a clear nose, and more comfortable eyes. In an 8-year study, women who drink 14 or more alcohol beverages per week, that's two a day, were much more likely to develop year-round nasal allergies than women who had less than a drink per week. Although the researchers didn't measure how alcohol affected symptoms in people who already had allergies, the theory is that alcohol can exacerbate symptoms given the results of the study and the fact that alcohol seems to trigger hypersensitivity or allergic reactions, the same type of overreactions that occur when your immune system overresponds to pollens. Alcohol can increase the production of an antibody involved in the allergic response. One caveat, alcohol or drinking did not raise the risk for seasonal allergic rhinitis, just the one that lasts all year. So, the real age benefit, drinking too much alcohol can make your real age more than 3 years older. Getting the right amount, that is, half to one drink a day, if you don't have a risk of alcohol addiction in your family, can make you 1.8 years younger. Joe?
Great. Dr. Mike Reisen, Radio MD.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that. And then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.